Now we're going to turn and read together in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, beginning our reading at verse 31. I had left this chapter and gone and moved into the next chapter to look at the man Pontius Pilate. And every time I did so, I felt that I was being drawn back again to the passage that I'm going to read tonight, and to the man that we're going to think about. It may seem strange because it's more, I feel, a message for believers than it is for those who are unsaved. But I think you'll understand when we come to it why we're thinking about this tonight. Luke 22, verse 31, and it simply says this: "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Verse 50 in the same chapter picks up the story again for us. We have Jesus' betrayal and arrest. And verse 50 says, "And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also one of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Amen. We know God will add his blessing to this reading from his word. Last Sunday night in Luke's Gospel, as we looked at some verses in Luke 22, we were looking at Judas Iscariot, the man who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as Judas is concerned, Luke doesn't give us all the details in his account, but as we look at the details of other Gospel writers, we put them all together, and the story we see of this man is a very tragic one. We noted the favor he enjoyed, for he worked with Christ, he witnessed the power of Christ, and yet sadly, he did not belong to Christ. We noted the foolishness he exhibited because despite all his privileges, he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ to the authorities for a mere 30 pieces of silver. And though he was filled with remorse, it was too late. We noted the finish he experienced. He took his own life. He couldn't live with what he had done, and in the process, he condemned his own soul. Tonight we come to the verses I've just read to you in Luke 22. And I'm going to take a little phrase from verse 54 and look at it in the light of the context of the story. It simply says this, "And Peter followed afar off." And Peter followed afar off. So the question tonight to my heart and yours is simply this, are we like Peter following afar off? We're looking at this man, Simon Peter, and I think that every time I come to look at this man's life, it gives me the opportunity as a Christian to take my own spiritual temperature. Because you see, it's possible, like Judas Iscariot, to act like a Christian and yet not actually be a Christian. And it's also possible to be a Christian tonight and yet to live a life that is lived out of fellowship with God. Sometimes you and I use the term backsliding. We use it to describe those who once walked well with God, but somehow now they have almost stepped out of the pathway and they find themselves in bypath meadows and they are no longer going on with the Lord the way they used to be. Now it might be that like Peter, they love the Lord, but they are following him afar off, and there's not the same warmth of love in their hearts for Christ. There's not the same intimacy in their walk with the Lord. And somehow over a period of time, for whatever reason, that man or woman finds themselves not in the place spiritually where they ought to be. Now, as we look at Peter's life tonight, I'm going to look at it under three simple headings. And I'm not going to do it in a critical way, because this same man who denied the Lord Jesus Christ on this occasion was restored to Christ and he became a tremendous ambassador for the gospel in the early church. And that encourages me. Because if, like Peter, I find myself tonight following the Lord afar off, not in the place where I long to be, not even in the place where I used to be, well, at least I know from this man's life that it's not beyond the stage where I can yet be restored to the Lord again and be useful to him. We're using his life as a character study. And three simple things. The first is this. Here's an important revelation to Peter. An important revelation to Peter. In Luke 22, 31 to 34, Peter's denial of Christ is foretold. Remember that the disciples had met together with Christ as he had instituted the Lord's Supper. Then a dispute arose amongst them concerning which of them might well be the greatest. And Jesus rebuked them for such an attitude. He spoke in terms of self-denial. He spoke in terms of the kingdom. He spoke in terms of eternal realities. He rebuked them for wanting to know which of them was the greatest. And then he turns around to Peter, to the man whom we know as the spokesman of the 12. And he tells Peter that the day is coming when he would soon deny him. Now there are some commentators who believe that Jesus said this to Peter privately while the two of them were alone. Others believe that he told Peter this in front of the other disciples by way of warning to them all. We cannot be sure which is correct, but the lessons are obvious for all of us. And when Jesus spoke to Simon Peter, he emphasizes his concern for Simon, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, for he turns around and he says to him, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you." Hear the emphasis? Knowing what lies ahead for Simon Peter, Jesus comes to me, says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. The word behold means watch out. Simon, pay attention. Simon, be on your guard. You're soon going to pass through a severe trial of your faith, for Satan, the enemy of your soul, is going to attack you and render you ineffective in your walk with me. Why Peter? Well, he may have been the target because he was the most prominent of the 12. After all, he's the man who said that he would defend the Lord Jesus Christ to the very end. In reality, he's the one who's soon going to fall. And when Jesus told him to be on his guard, his response was to be expected. Remember how at Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus talked about the people and who they said that he was, and he turned around and he said to the disciples, who do you say that I am? Peter steps forward as the spokesman. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You'd expect Peter to stand up when Jesus said what he said, and his answer, it's commendable. He says, not so, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both into prison and also to death. And Peter would not accept that such a thing would happen to him. After all, he was behind Jesus 100%. But the fact is that Peter really didn't know himself. He didn't know the true condition of his own heart. He didn't know just how easy it would be to deny the Lord Jesus, for in a few hours, he would deny him 3 times. What a revelation this must have been for Peter. Do you know there's a lesson here for all of us and for all our good? Many Christians today are very quick to point the finger and to be critical of others as they journey through life with all their spiritual ups and downs. We're so quick to pass comment on those who feel, and far worse are we with those who actually fall. We don't understand the potential that there is for every one of us to find ourselves someday in the same place. Perhaps we just don't know ourselves as well as we think. After all, the scripture tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it might well be that some of us tonight do know the state of our own heart. And like Peter, we're following afar off. Take a look at your own individual life as I do with mine. Is our walk with God what it once was? Is our hunger for God and His Word what it used to be? Remember those early days when we got saved and how we rejoiced and witnessed for Christ? Now it just seems to be a daily chore. Oh, we're saved, all right, we know that. But somehow there's not the same keenness. Not the same intimacy. Not the same desire. We sometimes ask the question, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? What a lament. And sometimes we've made it. Oh, the night we were saved, what a thrill. The early days of our Christian life, what a tonic. Right now, out of touch, like Peter, following afar off. An important revelation to Peter. An important realization for Peter. You see, despite the Savior's warning, Peter was still determined he would fight to the very end. And soon, after the agony of the Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane, Judas came with the crowd to arrest Peter. And what happened? He drew his sword and he proceeded to cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Jesus wanted none of that. He knew what lay ahead of him, and Peter couldn't prevent it. He knew what he must go to the cross because this was decreed from eternity past. And as Jesus was taken, this is when we read these moving and very solemn words, and Peter followed afar off. And as Jesus is led away, three times, just like Jesus said, Peter denied the Lord. Will you look at them with me just for a moment, quickly? Firstly, he sat warming his hands at the fire of the world. He's sitting down with the palace servants, with the temple guards, as Jesus is led away for questioning, and he's warming his hands at the fire, and the gatekeeper saw him and challenged him about being a disciple, and Peter denied it. Maybe he was frightened. Maybe he was just caught off guard very suddenly with the accusation. But when he was caught out, he denied the Lord. Could it be tonight that your life or mine is in the state it's in spiritually, and we're away from the Lord and following afar off, because the draw and the dragging of the world has brought us away from the Lord again to places we never ever thought we would be? Oh, I've trusted Christ, but we can't leave the old haunts. The friends we left, we're now back with, and their standards now govern our thinking. Sometimes even to the extent we're confused about our faith. But we still come to church. And we still maintain a Christian outlook on things. And we still maintain to have Christian principles when it comes to the big issues of life. But trying to serve two masters doesn't work, because you end up falling between two stools. Those who follow Christ must be separate from the world. You can't live in the world and live for Christ. It's just not on. If believers are anything today in today's world, they're different in attitude. They're different in action. And remember, having thought about discipleship, Jesus Christ said himself, there can be no middle ground if we're living for him. Peter sat warming his hands at the fire of the world. The second thing you notice is he mingled amongst them. The second denial very quickly follows the first. For fear of being recognized, it seemed that Peter was trying to leave, but he's recognized again. And Mark tells us another girl challenges him. He still denied he belonged to Christ. And thirdly, he stands amongst the bystanders. An hour later, Peter's still there. The news is spreading about who he was. He's challenged again. His accent gives him away. And Peter still denies. And in the third denial, the cock crew, Peter went out and wept bitterly. Do you know what makes this worse for me every time I read this story? That Jesus turned around and he looked at Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. No doubt Peter had denied the Lord. He knew it. But the eyes of Christ were not only filled with pain, they were filled with pardon. Young people, not just young people, but all of us tonight, are we in that place where we find it extremely difficult to speak up for Christ? In a school situation where perhaps we have taken a stand in the past in one school, moved to another one, and all of a sudden we have a whole new circle of friends, No, not Christ, no thought of Christ, and somehow we've just had to mingle with them and get on with it. And when they've talked about Christian things or they've criticized and used the kind of language that you know is not good and godly, you've been afraid to stand up and say, hold on a moment, I belong to the Savior. It's difficult. It's difficult. But the longer it goes on and the longer it goes on, it can get to the stage where you just become part of it and you become one of it. Peter knew he had done wrong. Three times he denied the Lord. He went out and he wept bitterly, regretting what he had done. This is the man who a few hours before it was filled with boldness. He's talking back to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'll go to prison for you. I'll go to death with you. But now this is an important realization when he realizes what he's done. The first step in getting back into fellowship with the Lord is understanding where we are now, realizing where we've been, and understanding the need to do something about our state. That's a difficult one. It's never easy admitting the true state of our own hearts and lives. It's always easier just to live a lie and pretend to others that things are always well with us. There's of no real value to us. Because if we get away from the Lord, we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to look carefully and clinically at our lives and admit our needs so we can seek the help of Christ. For the truth is, even as He looks at us tonight, and He sees us in the state that we find ourselves, He's not only filled with pain, He's filled with pardon. And if we're away from Him and made a mess of things, He's waiting for us just where we left Him. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? I'm looking at myself tonight, Pastor, and I see myself not as bright as I used to be, not as useful as I once was. Not in the same place where I was perhaps months ago or years ago as a Christian when my soul was on fire for God, and yet tonight there's hardly a flicker. Pastor, how can you be sure that He's looking at me with an eye of pardon? Well, we've seen an important revelation to Peter. An important realization for Peter. But the Scripture teaches us of an important restoration for Peter. Because before he ever denied the Lord, Jesus said to Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Peter's denial was tragic. But he learned lessons from it, for he was restored to Christ. He would soon be useful despite his denial. If we had time tonight, I would read it. We don't have the time, but if we were able to read John 21, we come to this lovely story of Jesus meeting with Peter and the other disciples at the Sea of Tiberias where they ate together. And Jesus challenged Peter about his love. And he challenged about his love three times. The same number of times that Peter had denied him. And on the third, his response is wonderful. He turns around and he looks at Christ and he says, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that. And then the Lord Jesus recommissioned this man. He was restored. It led to days of great victory and much blessing in his life. Now, I don't know why the Lord brought me here tonight. But if you're a backslidden Christian, if you're away from the Lord, if you're just going through the motions and hiding behind a profession made many, many years ago, I can assure you on the authority of God's word that Jesus wants to restore you too. No matter what you've done, He'll restore you. No matter where you've wandered, He'll restore you. No matter what your failure has been, He'll restore you. And like Peter, he'll give you days of victory and days of blessing. You might be away from the Lord and say to me, well, Pastor, listen, I'm quite happy tonight where I am. Are you really? Because you see, when I look at God's servant David, and he fell into sin and was out of fellowship with God, he was of all men most miserable. He not only knew what he'd done, but he knew where he shouldn't have been. God restored him and used him despite all he'd done. So here are two questions that challenge my own heart no end. Are we going on? And are we growing up in Christ? I didn't ask you, or I'm not asking my own heart, if we've somewhere along the line, maybe months ago or years ago, made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. That's important. But there's much more to the Christian life than that. Are we going on? And are we growing up in Christ? Or are we following afar off and out of fellowship with him? If we are, then I urge my own soul and yours to seek the place of restoration and return to Christ, that you might walk with him once again and know his blessing upon your life. Many years ago, in fact, the day that I came to know Christ as my Savior, I'd been miserable for 2 months at least, having gone and sat in a gospel mission and been challenged by the Word of God. I couldn't get rest about this matter. And the day I was saved, when I went into work, I was standing around a table boning hands with a young man, and he looked at me, he could see that I was visibly upset, he knew I was annoyed about something, and he looked at me and he said to me, do you know what you need? I said, what? He said, you need the Savior. I burst in tears and I left and went downstairs. I not only heard what was true, but I heard it from the mouth of a young man who was backslidden. A young man who started off drifting away with his friends, got involved in sport, took his own car so that he wouldn't have to go where the others were going until finally he went with them, and one drink led to another drink until it became his life again, and he just got away from the Lord. Years later, when I had left work and been involved in church life, I went back one night to do a meeting for the Slavic Gospel Association. It was in a Presbyterian church in Cookstown, and I remember looking down as I got into the pulpit to speak and then to show slides, and there sitting down the side was this man sitting with his wife. I couldn't wait for the meeting to finish to go and see him and just to say thank you and find out how he was and where he was. And after it was over, he had the same idea, for he made his way to me and I made my way to him. And he put his arm around me. He said, great to see you. He says, just wanted you to know I'm back with Christ. And he said, not only that, but I said, my wife is good saved. But I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, John, getting back was a tough, difficult road. A tough, difficult road. It always is when you go away from the Lord. It always is. But like Peter, there's always the hope of restoration. And Peter followed afar off. If that's where I am tonight, or that's where you are tonight, deal with it. Come back to Christ and long again for those days of blessing and victory that we once knew. Let's pray together. Let's just take a quiet moment individually to think about ourselves. Not being critical, pointing fingers, nothing. I'm just trying to learn lessons for my own life from the life of Peter. And tonight only you or I can answer where we are and what our need is. Father, we come to you. We thank you that your word gives us all the opportunity to not only take stock of our lives, but to test our spiritual temperature. We've read tonight of Peter, the man who lost his way, denied the Savior, and yet was restored, commissioned to the work, anointed with the Spirit, and a man who made a great impact in the life of the early church. Lord, when we get away from you, we know that it's a hard, long way home. But we pray for a way tonight that you will speak to us and draw us with the cords of love, that we might be restored to fellowship again, to that place of intimacy that we once enjoyed. Hear our prayers, see our need, minister to us, for Jesus' sake.